All right, well, a tough pill to swallow tonight as your Boston Bruins go down to the Blues 4-1. 4-1 on their home ice they lose tonight. If you want to hop on board, number 617-779-7937. And I just look back to that first period. You outshot them 12-4. You had a power play. At the point where the Blues score their goal, the O'Reilly goal, you were outshooting them 7-1. And you think about all the pressure you were putting on the Blues in the beginning of that game, and you came out flying. It was very similar to the Game 5, where Chara made his way back. The building was very emotional. They were going nuts in the building. Same thing tonight. Similar situation. You were putting all the pressure on the Blues, and Binnington continued to come through. And the story in this one is missed opportunities for the Bruins. And you think about some of the situations that they had in that first period. David Pastrnak whiffs on two one-timers, okay, one of which was on the power play. He also, on that same power play, gained the zone and then lost the puck. I mean, that's just indefensible. You cannot do that if you're Pastrnak, especially when this is supposed to be one of the guys you're relying on this team. Critical game. Obviously, it's Game 7. It's a do-or-die scenario, and you whiff twice on one-timers, and you're supposed to be the best guy on the team in the one-time situation, right? And then also the fact that on the power play, you gain the zone, you lose the puck. That's a missed opportunity, a bunch of them, from Pastrnak. You look at Marchand on the power play, where you have an opportunity, you have half the net open, you can't shoot the puck quick enough, and when you do, you put it in the wrong area of the net, and Binnington's able to make a save. That wasn't even a great save by Binnington. You hit him, okay? You shot it right at Binnington, so you lose an opportunity there. Johansson, there's a sloppy turnover by the Blues, and Johansson's unable to bury it. Now, the puck was on the edge, and it was a great play by Binnington to poke check there. But again, you had an opportunity if you're Marcus Johansson. So you had plenty of opportunities also earlier on in the game. Like, in the first couple of minutes, Corrali had an opportunity on a rebound, and he was unable to put it in the net. So you had opportunities early in that game, and you were unable to convert on any of them. And that's really what it comes down to the Bruins. Unable to convert on those opportunities, and you really felt like that once you had that power play and you were unable to come through, that it was going to be a deflating scenario for the Bruins. And it turned out to be that way, because just a couple of minutes later, towards the end of the period, what happens? What has happened all series long from the Blues' perspective, they were able to outman you, they were able to out-physical you, and they were able to out-tough you on their first goal, where twice you had guys knocked off the puck. Nola Chari and Brandon Carlo, twice in the same little situation there. You had two guys that were knocked off the puck, which set up the goal where Bouwmeester is able to put one towards the net, and Ryan O'Reilly, which he's done so many times throughout this postseason, is able to come through. And really, by postseason, I mean in this series in particular, gets the Conn Smythe, has five goals. He's able to come through, right? So it's the same thing that had been plaguing you throughout this series against the Blues. It was the toughness of the Blues was overwhelming for this Bruins team. And that's something that I think is going to be tough for fans in this area to deal with, because for about a decade now, we've been used to the Bruins being the tougher team. That's what's been the situation in most series they've played in. Now, yeah, they've lost series in the past. We've all witnessed it, the Lightning series last year. But in those series that the Bruins have lost over the past couple of years, it's, oh yeah, the other team was more skilled, right? And you just got beat. But in this one, this what makes this one so tough is the other team was tougher than you. The other team outworked you. The other team was the bully. And for so many times, so many different occasions, we've seen the Bruins do that to teams, right? We've seen the Bruins' physicality overwhelm teams, right? We saw it with the Vancouver series years ago in 2011, where the Bruins were the bully. They were the big, bad team. And in this series, that's what's tough to watch from a Bruins perspective, because you've been used to seeing this Bruins team dominate teams from a physicality standpoint for years. And you go into every series thinking that with the Bruins. And in this series, you knew you had the edge in terms of the skill. And what I didn't think would happen, happened, right? Because you think about it. You said, oh yeah, we all know that the Blues are a tough team, right? We all know that the Blues want to take you out. We saw what they did to the Sharks. Now, Carlson was dealing with a groin injury, but he can't play in Game 6 because of all the punishment he was taking from the Blues. Hurdle goes out in that series after taking a hit. Pavelski goes out in that series after taking a hit. But you're thinking, that's not going to happen to the Bruins. And I'm not just talking about the injuries and whatnot, because Grizzlick missed, what, four games in the series due to an injury, 3.5, whatever it was. He went out in Game 2, came back for Game 7. So I'm not talking about it from an injury standpoint, but just you didn't think that the body blows, that the physicality of the Blues is what was going to beat the Bruins. You're going to say, well, okay, the Bruins are more skilled, even if the Blues are the more physical team. The Bruins are still a mentally tough team. The Bruins are still a physical team, that they were going to be able to figure their way through this Blues team. As great as you knew the Blues were defensively with Bouwmeester and Pietrangelo and Parayko, you knew how tough those guys were, but you figured that the Bruins would be able to figure this out, right? And you knew that you were the more skilled team going into this series, and you never figured out that physicality element. You never really got it going from an offensive perspective. In the even strength situations throughout this series, you were just completely dominated, and you never figured out a way to adjust to this Blues team. And I don't look at it as anything like that Bruce Cassidy did, where he didn't find an advantage for his team. It was nothing along those lines. You knew that you were in trouble in this series from a Bruins angle when you were realizing, watching the series, that their best opportunity, they need to get on the power play, right? You were thinking to yourself, okay, we got to find a way to get this team on the power play. That's how you were going to win the series. And when that becomes the situation, that's a David strategy, right? That's an underdog mentality. That's an underdog strategy where you know that if you're going to win this series, it's going to be in the hands of the officials. And I get you feel you got screwed over by the officials in game five. And yeah, they missed a call. But you felt like you needed the whistle, right? You needed to be on the power play to win the series. That's a David-level strategy. That's where this team was at. They were resorting to an underdog strategy. You knew if they were going to win, it was going to be because they got onto the power play. And after that first period, absolutely deflating when one of your best players, if not your best player, in Brad Marchand, has that critical error at the end of the period where he just is looking for a line change and Pietrangelo skates by him, goes in. Maybe Tuukka could have come up with that save. And if he did, it's a totally different scenario going into the dressing room down 1-0 rather than 2-0. But once they went down 2-0 and it was one of your best players, if not your best player, definitely your best player during the regular season. So you looked at it from that perspective and you said to yourself, this game's over. Did anybody actually think after the Bruins went down 2-0 tonight that they were coming back against that team based on what they were able to do to you throughout this series, which was dominate you from a defensive perspective? You were playing into the Blues' favor, and the Blues knew they had you. Once you put on that rush at the beginning of the game, once you delivered what I thought was your best shot, right? You threw the haymaker early on in this game and you come away with nothing. Again, just like game five, and this time it's even worse, where the Blues were actually able to capitalize. They knew they had you right where they wanted you, and you knew that you were not going to be able to generate enough offensively if you were the Bruins. After that, and I get that Bruce Cassidy said after the game that he didn't feel like his team was demoralized or anything along those lines, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said that nobody was down during intermission. I do not buy that whatsoever. If they weren't showing it, then from a mental perspective, you have to be down. After all the effort you put in to that first period to come away with nothing and then to find out that you're down 2-0, after all that work, after all that went into the first couple of minutes, so the first 15 minutes or so of this game, and then to be down 2-0 at the end of the period, that was what? The Blues' third shot of the game. The Blues' third shot of the game. Up until that possession, if you will, where they gained the zone, you were out shooting them 7-1. So after all that, right, after all those chances you had, the Blues go into intermission with a 2-0 lead. Now, the Bruins were done after that. They came out to the second period. They didn't show you anything in the second period. You knew that they were completely done. By the way, Brad Marchand missed on the power play opportunity and, of course, had that hiccup in terms of the line change where it's just like, man, 10 seconds. That's all you need, 10 seconds. You talk to this team about how 2013 was a missed opportunity, and tonight that happens to you, a guy that is supposed to be carrying this team, or at least one of the guys. You had a 100-point season, and that's what happens to you in terms of a line change situation. You don't have 10 seconds left in you to make sure that Pietrangelo can't score. Here was Marchand after the game speaking with the media.
Love these guys. We had a hell of a year. We came very close, so I love every guy on this team, and I'm very proud of everyone that worked their ass off all year to get to this point. And, we're a hell of a group. We came together. We're like a family, so it hurts. Yeah, love this group.
Along those lines, Brad, when you have guys like Berge and Zeke leading the way the entire season, what does it say about those two guys to help you guys through all this?
Yeah, they're the ultimate leaders. I mean, they're incredible people, incredible teammates. And they set the tempo from day one, their work ethic and how competitive they are, how much they want to win. And they carry that. It's hard to carry that through an entire season, night after night, but they do it, you know, whether they're healthy or not. See some of the things that these guys play through and, you know, what they put themselves through for this team. It's impressive.
What's the emotional ball here? Within one game,
get this close and then you follow the short. It's a heartbreaker. It's tough to describe. You know, they just took our dream, our lifetime dream from us, and you know, everything we've worked for our entire lives, and it's 60 minutes away from that. I can't describe it.
It's easier to think about this game itself and kind of what happened and how it came apart. How would you say that this game, you know, got away from you guys?
They got a couple bounces. I think that was the biggest thing. A couple bounces went their way, didn't go our way. That was it.
It seemed like it was hard sometimes, though, but they were the initiators, maybe sometimes, especially
in the physical fight. You're not going to control a game the entire way through in this league, especially in the cup finals. So we had a ton of opportunities, we had a lot of good chances, but you know they were going to push back. They're a good team, obviously. But you know, we knew they were going to be resilient and they were going to get their opportunities, but they capitalized on theirs and we didn't.
All right, that's Brad Marchand after the game tonight. Emotional, as you can expect. One thing that I disagreed with him, he said that the Blues got a couple of bounces to go their way. I don't agree with that whatsoever. When I look at it, the Blues made their opportunities happen, right? They knocked you off the puck twice on their initial goal, the Ryan O'Reilly goal. And then the second one, that wasn't like a bounce. It's just you made a hiccup in terms of what you were doing in terms of the line change. And Petrangelo went by and capitalized on a breakaway. So I didn't see it like the Blues got puck luck, as the cliche is used. I didn't see anything along those lines. They got a couple of lucky bounces. In fact, if I was going to look at anything in terms of lucky bounces, if you will, throughout this postseason, you look at the Carlo goal in Game 6, that was a lucky bounce. I didn't see anything in this game tonight that was a lucky bounce. You had opportunities on your side, too, that you could have capitalized on from your perspective, and you guys weren't able to do it. So I don't think it was one of these things where the Blues got lucky, if you will, in terms of their goals. They didn't have any lucky goals whatsoever. O'Reilly, that's a skill goal. O'Reilly's been doing that all damn postseason. The guy gets in front of the net, and he's able to deflect pucks. That's what he's been doing all postseason long. That's what he's made his career doing. He's a tough, physical guy, and he took advantage of you. He out-physicaled you guys. That's the reality of the situation. He out-physicaled you. 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you for the next 45 minutes or so. The other thing I would look at is this. This Blues defense was so damn good throughout the season, we know, but throughout this series in particular. You look at it tonight. Once they got the lead, they knew they could go back into that shell, and they were going to challenge you to try to beat them in terms of their best players, which were their defensive guys. They were going to challenge you. They go back into that shell. They blocked 21 shots in this game. 21 shots they blocked in this game. Because Binnington, yes, he played well in this game, especially in the first period. But to me, like, I never thought that Binnington was this outstanding goaltender. Now, he had his moment tonight, and he had a moment in Game 4, but I've always felt like Binnington has been protected by these elite defensive players, the Parekos, the Petrangelos of the world, right? The Bomeisters of the world. That's why Binnington is in a good position, because these defensive guys, and even the forwards, you think about what O'Reilly does from a two-way perspective, right? What these guys are able to do from a defensive perspective, it had to have been so aggravating for the Bruins, because every time they think they have an opportunity, the Blues close so quickly and they're so damn big, they just dominated the top guys from the Bruins from a physicality standpoint, where every time they thought they had an opening, that opening would close so damn quickly because of the size and because of the style that they play with. 21 block shots they had tonight. You look at the hitting again. The Blues, again, they break your will. 36 hits tonight. In their wins heading into this game, they averaged 42 hits per game. So they outwilled you, right? That's what it seemed like to me. It was like they broke you. And the wins that the Blues had, it felt like they broke the Bruins. And I also feel like if you look at it, they had a couple of opportunities, did the Bruins in the series, where I don't understand why they didn't put the puck on the net more. You go back to Game 2, You only had 23 shots in that game, and Bennington was shaky. Coyle had a soft goal. Nordstrom had his soft goal, and you weren't taking advantage of Bennington. He was not locked in yet, was not locked into the series whatsoever, and you had an opportunity in game two to go up 2-0. Even though the Blues were outplaying you for a significant portion of that game, their goaltender was a weakness in that game, and you were not able to take advantage of it. And I think you'll go back to that game too and say, yeah, we probably should have put more pucks on the net, because once Bennington got going, like tonight, early, he gave up a couple of rebounds. Crowley unable to convert on one of them. Couldn't really get much on it. And then he kind of settled in, and he was better with his rebound control from that point forward. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Steven. He's in Boston. What's up, Steven?
So, Brian, hey, I have to disagree, and I'm hoping you let me explain.
Go ahead.
I mean, I don't blame the refs, and St. Louis played well. They went into the series looking to probably win in 5 or 6 games. I still believe that they played that well. The first game, they went in with an 8-game win streak, and they played like it. They took care of business. Going to game two, I feel like it got to their head a little bit. They played a little bit cocky. They were playing with a lot of passing, a little bit of pass happy, gave up a lot of goal scoring chances, and I really feel like they let game two get away. Even though Rask had a chance to win that game for them, mm-hmm. I still feel that they let game two get away from them. They could have went up 2-0. In game three, they got their heads back in the game and ran away with it. Right? Mm-hmm. So then it comes to game four. Game four was the game breaker. They could have went up 3-1 and put that series away. I mean, 3-1, that's pretty good, right? So that first goal, 30 seconds into the game, that was a rough one to give up.
Yeah.
See, I feel Rask had his chance to make his mark on this series. And he could have stole game four, too. But that was the game for him to win. So now it's, 2-2, right? Game five, he had another chance to steal game five, and he didn't do it. I mean, he didn't really lose you games, but he didn't win you any games either. He played good. He kept you in there. But he never made his mark. Game six, same thing. Same thing on game six, but...
Game six, I thought Tuukka was great. I mean, the game six that they won the other night in St. Louis, Tuukka was great in that game.
Yeah, no, he kept you in there. But every game, except for this one, the team that played better that game won.
Well, yeah, I mean, Steve, that's how it works. But if you look at it, though, you really think that Tuukka was the issue? I mean, come on, like, look.
Yeah, no, I don't. I don't think Tuukka was the issue. But, like, tonight, I feel the Bruins, this is the first game of the series that the better team did not win. I feel like the Bruins were the better team.
Well, hold on, Steve. Yeah, I agree with you that they were the better team and like for the first 15 minutes of the game, but after that I don't feel that way. I get that the numbers tell you that they outshot you and whatnot, but after St. Louis gets that 2-0 lead, they played differently. So I don't feel like you, and especially in the second period, St. Louis was definitely the better team. Now, in the third period, you tried to put some pressure on them, unable to capitalize. I don't think the Bruins were the better team tonight. I think they were the better team for 15 minutes, but I don't think they were the better team for 60 minutes.
All right, we can disagree on that, but with the series, right,
mm-hmm.
from game one on, the Bruins had a lot of shooting opportunities, a lot of chances. The scoring chances were off the charts as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, the Bruins, the top line didn't have a lot of points, but they had a lot of scoring chances that they didn't give Bennington. They didn't even make him make a save.
Yeah, I agree with that point, Steve, and I appreciate the call. You can grab his line if you'd like. It's 617-779-7937. I agree with that. I do agree with that. I do agree with – there was times in this series where Marchand, especially in game two of the series – remember, that's the game where Marchand was skating around with the puck a little too much. Bergeron's – like, you just pull the trigger, man. Like, that happened way too many times in game two where they were treating, essentially – Jordan Bennington in that game, in game two, like he was Patrick Waugh or Marty Brodeur. They were treating him like that. Like, they needed the perfect shot to beat Bennington. It's like, this guy's not that good. I understand he's a rookie. They took off when he took over in the net this season. Like, they had a great season. But Bennington couldn't control rebounds for the first 3 to 4 games of this series. And you were treating him as if he was this unbelievable goaltender that has been a dominant guy for a number of years. That wasn't the case. The guy gave up juicy rebounds in so many games. Remember the Carlo goal on the shorthanded situation earlier in the series? That was a juicy rebound. The guy at times this series could not control rebounds whatsoever, and they were trying to be too pretty with the puck, the Bruins, especially Marchand and Bergeron. Just shoot. Put pressure on Jordan Binnington. He could not control rebounds for so many times this series, and you just were unable to take advantage of it for some inexplicable reason. All right, a lot more to get into. Your number is 617-779-7937. How bad of a loss is this for the Bruins? Who do you put this loss on? We'll get to a trending in just a second here on WEI.
I'm not really sure. It's hard to think about right now. Obviously, really hard not being there with my teammates. I think probably the worst thing as a player is having to sit and watch. Not being able to go out there and battle with the guys. So just kind of a lot of things going through my head right now. It's really tough.
How do you feel physically?
I don't really know. It was obviously great to get back in the lineup tonight and feel a lot more like myself. Like I said, it's kind of in shock right now. So obviously you have some regrets in the game. It's a lot to take in right now, but there's certainly a lot to be proud of this year.
All right, that's Matt Grizzlick after the game tonight. Of course, he missed Game 3, Game 4, Game 5, and Game 6, and a good portion of Game 2 after he took the hit from Oscar Sundquist, and he was able to come back onto the ice tonight for Game 7. But that Grizzlick injury definitely played a role in this thing because Grizzlick was another one of these defensemen like Krug and like McAvoy that can move the puck. John Moore, not that type of guy. So clearly that hurts you throughout this postseason, or throughout this series, I should say, not having Grizzlick available for you for four games. That's what the Blues have done all postseason long. They take out their opponent. They took out one of your defensemen, and that clearly caught up to the Bruins in the series because I get it, Grizzlick's not McAvoy or he's not Carlo, but he definitely plays a significant role on this team, and especially considering that you weren't getting the offense generated from your forwards. You need your defensive guys to help out, to carry the puck, and Grizzlick's one of the guys on this Bruins roster that could certainly do that. Not having Grizzlick available was definitely critical for this team in terms of four games without that guy, who we saw his impact tonight. He can move the puck, and you not having him, that was critical. I also want to get to this real quick. So after that first period, so just think about this. This stat came from the NHL Network. Offensive zone possession, Bruins 212, Blues 105. Shots, Bees 12, Blues 4. Slot shots, Bees 8, Blues 2. You were down 2-0. Also, remember this. In that first period, there was a stretch for the Blues where they went 10 minutes in between shots. 10 minutes they went without a shot. And they end up getting their second shot, and then their third shot is the O'Reilly goal, right? So they went 10 minutes without a shot, and they still had a 2-0 lead after the first period. Unable were the Bruins to convert on any of those situations. And I also look at the fact, and it's the theme, really, of what happened to the Bruins in this series. There's two themes. They were outworked, they were out-physical, they were outmanned. And the other theme is your best players didn't show up, and theirs did. Because if you look at the final numbers in this series, Bergeron has 4 points. None since Game 4, right? Had one goal in the series. Marchand, 5 points, 2 goals. One was an empty netter, one was a 5-on-3, and we all know what happened to Marchand tonight. He was horrible. I mean, there's no way defending Marchand tonight. He was horrible. Had an opportunity on a power play to convert, and not that everybody in the NHL is going to bury that, but you expect Marchand, a guy that had 100 points during the season, you expect he buries that, and then you don't expect him to have the hiccup on the line change. You look at O'Reilly, who won the Conn Smythe. He had 8 points in the series. He had 5 goals. So in this series, Ryan O'Reilly, the guy that won the Conn Smythe, had more goals than Bergeron, Marchand, and Krejci combined. That's where the series is lost. O'Reilly was better than your three forwards put together, like your three best forwards heading into the series together. He was better than all of them combined. That's where you look at it in terms of saying, okay, that's where the series was lost, is O'Reilly was great, and your guys, quite frankly, didn't show up. And I understand there's injuries and all that. Bergeron said he's playing with a groin injury, but he's out on the ice. And the reality of the situation was, quite frankly, your stars were not good enough. Your stars were not good enough in this series whatsoever. That's why you did not win the Stanley Cup, because your stars did not show up. And Ryan O'Reilly, on the other side of things, did show up. I would also look at the fact that you never put enough pressure on Binnington throughout this series. Never did. There was times, there were stretches when it happened, but there was too long in between those stretches. There was too many times where you're trying to be too cute with the puck. There was too many times you weren't putting enough pressure on him because he was in a situation so many times where he would give up juicy rebounds, and you saw Carlo capitalize earlier on in the series, but there was too many times we didn't take advantage of the fact that Jordan Bennington was not great in terms of rebound control. There was never a period in this series where you felt like Bennington was really controlling the rebounds. Never felt like that whatsoever, yet you didn't test Bennington nearly enough. Now, credit the Blues defense, because clearly they weren't letting you get to the front of the net, right? That's another way you were out-muscled in the series. O'Reilly, whenever he wanted to get to the front of the net, he was able to do it. From a Bruins perspective, your guys were never able to get to the front of the net. Now, another thing I would look at is this. I was talking to Mike Kelly from the NHL Network, and he said essentially that, and there's stats to back this up, that Jordan Bennington, moving from his left to his right, had the worst save percentage in the NHL playoffs. And that goes by a per-game basis, right? So he had the worst save percentage moving from his left to his right in the entire postseason. So clearly, Mike Kelly from the NHL Network has this information. So clearly, the Bruins have this information. Why were you unable to take advantage of that when you know there's a clear weakness with the goaltender, where, first of all, the rebound control is an issue, but he has a serious issue moving from his left to his right, and you were unable to take advantage of that in this series? If the NHL Network knows that, the Bruins definitely know that, and you were never able to take control of that whatsoever. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Joe. He's in Rhode Island. What up, Joe?
Well, it's a long ride home tonight from the Garden, but I think you're spot on. The game was over in the first period, 2-0. You knew they weren't coming back. I just didn't see it. I thought the first line played horribly. They just what really upset me more than anything, Marchand on that bad change and missing almost an open net. Bergeron did nothing the whole series, lost a ton of faceoffs. And Pasternak turtled on a couple of times on the boards. But one of the things I really don't understand, you know, Cassidy didn't make a lot of changes in the lineup. And a guy that got a free pass, and he's a kid, Danton Heinen couldn't put the puck in the ocean.
Well, Joe, I think Heinen just sucks. I think Heinen's terrible. I just don't think he's a good player. I don't think it has anything to do with the coach. I just think he's terrible.
What the hell is he doing in the lineup? He doesn't play physical. He doesn't have great speed. He can't score. He's not a great back checker. He's not a great forechecker. What the hell is he playing for?
So you would have had, like,
kill that one.
Who would you want in, Joe? You'd rather have, like, Backes in the lineup or something along those lines?
Well, you know, maybe Backes. You know, Backes is obviously on the back nine. But there's got to be kids in Providence that could have done a better job than him. Wagner maybe could have done a better job than him. At least he could forecheck. I mean, this guy brings nothing to the table. Nothing, nothing, nothing.
Yeah, I agree with you on Heinen. I appreciate the call, Joe. You can grab his line if you'd like. It's 617-779-7937. I just don't think Heinen's a good player. I really don't. There's nothing that sticks out to you about Heinen. There's nothing he does particularly well where you say, oh, yeah, there's what Heinen does. He's not good. I mean, that's a reality. He's not a good player. Let's get to Jake in Boston. What's up, Jake?
In the third period. Hey, guys, Bennington made a great save going left to right in the third period. Bennington saw the puck well tonight, and in Game 5 he saw it well as well, and you could tell it in the very first period. You've got to give him more credit than you've given him. He's won two games that Tuukka Rask has never won in his entire career, on the road, facing adversity, getting outshot 2-1. He was actually there and allowed his team to capture and steal momentum in two games. And Tuukka Rask gave him that momentum because in both Game 5 and Game 7, he laid it up. His team dominated in the first period of those two games, and you just can't let that happen on home ice. And listen, we're going to get to these comparisons time and time again, but Tim Thomas won two Game 7 in that 2011 run in which I was sitting there in the first period tonight thinking about 2011 against Tampa Bay and Dwayne Roloson. And you know what? It's a lower scoring game in the playoffs. You can't expect your superstars to score at the same clip in the regular season, but a goaltender.
Yeah, hold on, Jake. Hold on a second, though. You said you can't expect your superstars to score at the same clip. Okay, I understand that. But you can't have your superstars not show up for a series, and that's what happened to the Bruins.
Listen, It's a lower scoring, more physical game in the playoff, and it's been
right. But that doesn't mean you can't score, Jake. You can score. You can still score. Brad Marchand's only two goals, 5-on-3 and an empty netter. Bergeron hadn't scored since game 4. I mean, you can score. I understand it's a lower scoring game, but you can score.
Your all-world goaltender just gave up 4 goals in a game 7. He gave up 2 early in a game 5. Granted, he had a pretty good game 6. He's blown a 3-0 series lead in 2010. He gave up 2 goals late against you. I mean, this was Tukarask's series to elevate himself, not just as an elite goaltender in this league, and he's debatable on there, but to elevate his legend and his legitimacy as an all-time great Boston Bruin.
All right, Jake, hold on.
He had more to gain and more to lose in this series than any other player.
Jake, which situation are you pointing at tonight? What goal? Maybe the Petrangelo goal on like the breakaway situation. That's more about Marchand than it is about Tuca. But what goal are you looking at? What goal other than that are you looking at, though? Are you saying that's Tuca's fault? Like, the O'Reilly thing is O'Reilly gets positioned in front of the net, has a deflection. Like, I don't know how you stop that one. Like, the Shen goal, I don't know how you stop that one.
You can't let a goal go in 5-hole, even on a deflection. And if you were playing the butterfly correctly, that doesn't happen in the first goal. The second goal was worse, obviously, because of the timing. And yes, did Marchand make a mistake? Correct. But your goaltender has to pick you up in that situation. And Binnington didn't allow those goals in Game 5 and Game 7 in Boston. You talk about rebound control. He was still seeing the puck well. He was still going across his body. He did in the third period, the save I mentioned. I forget who it was because I was on the top row. But yeah. You saw it early. He saw the puck really well. You knew the Bruins were in for it. You knew it was over at 2-0. But you can't allow a goal in the last 20 seconds of the first period. You can't allow
I agree, Jake, but you also can't have a guy that had... Jake, I agree with what you're saying, but you can't have a guy that had 100 points during the regular season miss on his opportunity in a power play situation to bury a puck in the back of the net and also screw up a line change at the end of the period. You can't have that happen either. Like I appreciate the call, Jake, but I cannot put this series on Tuca. Now, the Petrangelo goal, if he makes that save, it's incredible, and maybe that gets you some momentum going into the dressing room for the first intermission. But other than that, I really can't put this game on Tuca. Tuca was great all postseason long. There's no debating that. The guy was absolutely outstanding. In fact, he was better than Binnington in this series. Binnington benefits from having all those beasts defensively. This is not about Tuca. This is not about Tuca. This is the fact that your stars didn't show up. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Norm in Falmouth. What's up, Norm?
What's going on, Brian?
What do you got, man?
Hey, it's just a sloppy offensive game by the Bruins. I mean, I can't put this on Tuca whatsoever. I mean, I don't understand the so many missed opportunities that the Bruins had tonight on the offensive side. Mm-hmm. It's almost like they relied too hard on the power play throughout the series.
Yeah.
They were out-physicaled, out-worked, out-muscled. I mean, it was like, you know, once our referee's going to swallow the whistle tonight, they really had no chance. I mean, this team relied too hard on the power play and Tuukka Rask. I mean, Tuukka can only do so much. You got to get it done on the offensive side. It just wasn't happening for them throughout the series. You know, they couldn't do the 5-on-5. It just wasn't happening for them.
Yeah, no, they were dominated. I appreciate the call, Norm. You can grab his line if you'd like to at 617-779-7937. He makes a good point. It's a point that I've been echoing all night. 5-on-5, this team was outplayed. And it's a David strategy when you have to rely on penalties. Like, your opportunity to score in this series was on the power play. You had to rely on that to try to win a series. Like, they were at a point where the Bruins, where they knew that they were in real trouble if they didn't get onto the power play. I mean, even in the game 6 that you win, you get a 5-on-3 goal. Okay, that's gift wrapped to you because O'Reilly makes one of his rare mistakes in the series when he gets a delay of game penalty. And then also you flip forward into the third period. When Carlo has that goal, that's a fluky goal. That's a fluky goal. And once you go up 2-0, you know the Blues have to play out of character because that's not how they want to play. They're a team that likes to get a lead, right? It's like a running team in the NFL. They want to get a lead and pound the ball. That's what the Blues like to do. They like to get a lead and then challenge you to try to beat them. And they know that they have your number because all series long, you have proven even strength that they have been the better team than you. So they knew once they had that 2-0 lead, It was over. You might as well have brought the Stanley Cup into the Blues locker room at that point in time because it wasn't going to go anywhere else. It was going to stay with the Blues after they had a 2-0 lead, and I hated the Bruins' effort in the second period. I don't think the Bruins were ready to play for the in the second period. I thought the Bruins were mentally beaten after that second goal by Pietrangelo, and I blame Marchand for that. I don't blame Tuca. Now, Tuca could have made an outstanding save, but that's more about Marchand than it is about Tuca. All right, if you want to hop on board here, 617-779-7937 is your number. What do you make of the Bruins losing on their home ice to the Blues? Who's to blame? You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEI.
Whatever we say is, doesn't matter because it is where it is, and it's really, I'm proud of the guys, proud of everyone, the way that we've competed and the way that we've, but then you don't get the result, and it's hard to be standing here and answering questions.
All right, that's Patrice Bergeron after the game tonight. Did not have a point since Game 4, had just one goal in this series. He was a -4, so disappointing series from Patrice Bergeron. I know he gave the speech before Game 6, but didn't really show up on the ice. Wasn't even really particularly good in that Game 6. Nonetheless, that speech will be forgotten, just like Chara coming back from a jaw injury will be forgotten because the team didn't finish the job. They didn't capitalize. They didn't win the Stanley Cup. Those would have been great storylines, right? Like that speech we would have always remembered, even though we don't exactly know what he said, even though Charlie McAvoy kind of said it was about, oh, the dream of when you're young, you're growing up wanting to win a Stanley Cup. But it's like the David Ortiz speech in 2013 when they were in the World Series. Like that's what the that's what the Bergeron speech would have been. We would have remembered that forever, right? Or at least the reference to that. We would have remembered Chara coming back from the jaw injury. But now all those things, quite frankly, we're not going to remember them because you end up losing the cup. Now, a couple of people mentioned earlier, like, where this ranks in terms of losses. I don't go back to 86, and I would imagine that that loss, some of that wound has been healed because you've won so many times since then. But I look at it in terms of where this ranks. I compare it more like the 2010 Celtics. Remember they were playing the Lakers in that Game 7. Ray Allen had cut it to like a 3-point deficit, and then out of all people in the final minute, Ron Artest, or the final 3 minutes, whatever it was, Ron Artest hit that 3 to put the Lakers up 6. And it's similar to this team because, and I understand a couple of years later, the Celtics made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, but they had no business beating the Heat. Now, they won 3 games, and they were up 3-2, but I never felt like that Celtics team was going to win a championship. It does feel similar to that Celtics team in 2010 with Pierce, Garnett, because it kind of felt like the end of the road for those guys, and Ray Allen, of course, he ended up leaving a couple of years later. But it felt like the end of the road for those guys. And the younger player, which was Rondo, you didn't feel like Rondo was going to be able to carry a franchise going forward. I kind of feel like it's similar with this team. Is Krejci's getting older, Bergeron's getting older, and I like some of the young pieces, the McAvoys of the world, the Carlos of the world, if you will. But it doesn't feel like, in terms of the offensive firepower, you don't have a lot of young guys there. It doesn't feel like this is a team that's going to consistently compete to get back to the Stanley Cup. It just feels like this could be the end of the window for the Bruins. This could be the window shutting. Now, maybe it's open a little bit. Maybe you got one more run in you, but this really did feel like your best opportunity with this group of players to get a second cup. And now it seems like that's not going to happen anytime soon based on what they have coming back and Bergeron aging and Krejci aging as well. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Matt. He's in L.A. What's up, Matt?
Yeah, I don't think that people are going to forget necessarily what Chara had to go through to play in this series. I mean, what he did was remarkable.
But don't you think it's more legendary, Matt, if they win? Like, that's like something we always remember. Like, well, I mean, it'll be like a talking point with Chara, but I think it'll more be about Chara, like what he did in 2011 when he was one of the best defensemen in the NHL. Yeah. I think if they had finished this series, that would have been one of the main things we talk about with Chara.
No question. I actually thought he had a good game today, even. He actually saved the goal, which they showed on the replay.
Yeah.
I thought he played pretty well. He was one of the only bright spots, unfortunately. Tough loss, really tough loss.
Yeah.
The fact that they didn't score when they dominated the first period from where I was sitting, I thought was really the difference in the game. It's just
deflating.
It's just that simple to me. I think that's pretty much where it begins and ends.
Yeah, appreciate the call. His line's open if you want to grab it. It's 617-779-7937. It's deflating. It's not 07 Patriots. Like, come on. Like, nobody thinks it's that bad. 07 Patriots was you had the chance to be the best team in the history of sports, right? Or at least the history of the NFL. The only team to go undefeated outside of the Miami Dolphins, but that Patriots team with Moss and Brady and the record-breaking season for both those guys. And you were not able to finish that one. That's the worst. And I understand the Patriots have won other Super Bowls, but that's definitely the worst. This one is up there, though, in terms of I put it right there with the 2010 Boston Celtics because it feels like it was the end of the road for these guys. But just to kind of put a bow in the conversation with the Bruins, Alex Reamer is going to have you for the next 4 hours leading up until Mutt and Callahan. But just to put a bow on it, the reality of it is this. Your best players were not good enough. That's why you lost the series. It has nothing to do with the officiating, nothing to do with Tuukka Rask. Tuukka was great throughout this postseason. He was great in the Stanley Cup final. The reason this team did not win is they had missed opportunities tonight. They did not take advantage of Jordan Binnington, that I think he was there for the taking early in the series. He proved that his rebound control early in the series was an issue. You didn't take advantage of that. And most of all, and most importantly, you look on the other side of things, Ryan O'Reilly, who gets the Conn Smythe Trophy, also, of course, gets to hoist that Stanley Cup. Ryan O'Reilly dominated you. He was a plus five in this series. He had 5 goals. He had 8 assists. You look on the other side of things, Patrice Bergeron, nowhere to be found in this series. And more importantly, Brad Marchand. He was a liability on the ice tonight for the Bruins, was not able to capitalize on that power play situation. And then you look at the line change. I mean, that's something you're always going to remember. The line change hiccup where he just lets Pietrangelo go by him, Pietrangelo gets a goal, and basically they go up 2-0 there, and that's the end of it. That is the end of it. So your stars did not show up. Their best player on the other side of it, or at least the guy that became their best player in this series, Ryan O'Reilly, certainly showed up. And your guys, in terms of your top line, never figured out Parayko, never figured out Pietrangelo, never figured out Bo Meester. That's the story of this series. The Blues were the better team. They were better in even strength situations. Your only offense was generated essentially on the power play. All right. Thanks to Bridget for producing. Alex Reamer's got you for the next 4 hours here on WEI. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe and be well.